CD if you want. Thank you so much. We're in a series called Dreamers, Be One. And the title of today's message is Your Harvest is Crying Out. As we wrap up this little three-part series today, I want to remind you that your inner desires are seeds. Say seeds. The seeds of God's dreams that drive your faith. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, what? Declares the Lord's. Plans to what? Prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you what? Hope and a future, right? Page 1, number 1 of your insert. God is looking for men and women who will take back from the devil the things that he put on this earth for his people to enjoy. In Christ, God has made you and I heirs of the world. From the very beginning, God had this dream for mankind. And his dream was that man would rule the earth and enjoy all that God had created for them. Man would live safe, fulfilled lives with God as his source and his supply. And he would share the joy of God's kingdom and walk with God every day. And God's dream has really never changed. From the foundations of the earth, God established that each person who would ever live would be free to walk with him and know the love of God in his or her life. To understand God's dream is to understand the purpose of him sending Jesus to the earth. Jesus paved the way for all people to come into the family of God and inherit all of the riches that God's goodness and grace. Hebrews 1:2 tells us this, that Jesus has been appointed heir of all things. Say heir of all things. As a believer, you have an inheritance in God. We know that, right? Okay, I'll ask that question again. As a believer, I mean, there are people here. Now, when it was just the camera, I didn't expect anybody to answer, all right? As a believer, you now have an inheritance in God. Thank you so much. And that inheritance is twofold. Not only do you have the inheritance you received inwardly, but you also have an inheritance of all things. And both of these things, the internal and the external, they're quite different from one another, yet they are both equally important when it comes to becoming an heir with God. Now think about this in terms of your natural bloodline. First, at birth, you receive the characteristics such as the color of your eyes, the size of your nose, your height. You know, all of these are inherited from your family genes, right? These inherited characteristics help shape you physically. In the same way, as a believer, you have inherited from your Heavenly Father who you are, your outlook, and the way you see things. And it is so important that Christians learn who we really are in Christ. Amen? Amen. And we are no longer who we once were. We know this. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if anyone is in who? Christ. Is in Christ, he is what? Okay, so tell me what that word means in the Greek. A creature that never existed before. Before what? Before Christ. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, a type of creature that never existed before Christ. Old things have been passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But remember, there's a second aspect to inheritance that is equally important. And this is the inheritance which comes at death. When a loved one passes away, if you have a will, what does that will tell people? What does it tell the court? What does it tell people? Your intentions, where your assets go, where the things you have go, right? And those who will inherit these possessions are designated in the will of the deceased. Well, the New Testament is really the last will and testament of Jesus. And the same thing happens in the inheritance that belongs to us as believers. But to be honest, it's just not been given, I don't think, the kind of attention that it deserves. I'm on page 1, number 2, by the way. By Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf, he became heir of all things. We just read that in Hebrews, right? He became heir of the world. He became heir of all things. None of the things in this earth that he became heir of were things he needed. Does Jesus need anything on this planet other than us? So who did he redeem those things for? Us. So I'm on number three. Abraham was the first man since Adam, since Adam's fall, really, to really walk with God and repossess. Say repossess. The world and the land and the wealth in this world that God wanted for him to have. Switch over to page two. Abraham had to repossess. Say again, repossess. Okay, why am I using the word repossess? Because through Satan deceiving Adam and Eve, and Adam committing high treason, the possessions of the world went to Satan. And he became the god of this world and in this world system. So when Abraham came along and made covenant with God, then he had to repossess what God had given to man to start with. Does that make sense? Okay. So Abraham had to repossess the world because it was in the wrong hands, and God wanted it back in the dominion of the people who walked with him as he had designed from the very beginning. That is his design. God revealed through the Apostle Paul how in Christ any man or woman could enter into the family of God and become an heir. The way was not by natural birth, we know that, into the nation of Abraham. Instead, it was through a spiritual birth into God's family by faith. Romans 4, 13 through 15 sheds some light on God's attitude toward the inheritance we have received. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring, and who? His offspring, and who's his offspring? How do you know that? But what does it say? Tell me what the word says. Don't just tell me it says so. What does it say? Exactly right. If you're in Christ, then you are what? Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, right? Okay, so it was not through law that Abraham and his offering received the promise, but he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless. Because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. So notice Abraham and his seed would be the heirs of the world, and this inheritance would come by what? Faith. Abraham's example of faith would become the standard by which we enter in. His faith was in God's word, and he refused to bow to the circumstances and the conditions around him. He believed God, and he acted on what he believed. Page 2, number 2. We are the seed of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:29. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. His promise is that you too would inherit the world. From Abraham's day until this time, God has looked for men and women to inherit the world and all that is in it. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." How much?
Everything.
The world and all its people belong to him. You're an heir of the world. Psalms 37:11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Okay. The word inherit there. We got to go back to the Hebrew, because the word inherit there in that verse means to seize, possess, or to even expel or cast out what does not belong. We not only receive our inheritance, but we also seize it, defend it, and destroy any threat to it. You know, I should have saved that verse for next week, because whether we're talking spiritual things, we're talking America, we're talking our family. We are inheritant. We inherit these things. We inherit our family heritage, which is the family of God. We inherit our national heritage, which is a nation built on the Word of God. We inherit our spiritual heritage through Jesus Christ. And so not only do we receive the inheritance, but we are to seize it, we are to defend it, and we are to destroy any threat that would come against it. Abraham was told by God that the land where the Canaanites lived belonged to him and his descendants. He had to embrace it all by faith. Why? Well, because God told him all of these things. You're going to be the father of many nations. Land is all going to be yours. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. And at the point God told him that, did he have any of that? He didn't have the lands. He didn't have the son. He didn't have any of it. But yet, so he had to receive it by faith. And because he received it by faith, what did God say he was? Righteous. We cannot be casual about faith and receive. Apathy and indifference, I believe, are a slap in God's face because he moved heaven to bring his dream back to man. Jacob, all right, so you had Abraham, you had Isaac was his son, and Jacob was his son. So Abraham was Jacob's grandfather. And Jacob followed in faith in his father and grandfather's footsteps. His father Isaac's faith brought him an inheritance of land and wealth, just like Abraham's faith had. Genesis 26:13, though, look at this. He said, he became a very rich man, and his wealth continued to grow. Now, you would think, the way the world talks about, particularly Christians, well, he's already become a very rich man. Now, in the New Testament, we're going to talk about rich people and the things they do wrong with their riches. But in this case, the riches are coming through covenant, not through deceit in the world system. And not only did he become a very rich man, but what does it say? Thank you so much. And his riches continue to grow. So in the same way that Jacob's faith to pursue his inheritance brought him to the dream God had for him, listen to what God said to Jacob in Genesis 28:15. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. How much? Everything. The covenant promise God made to Abraham was working for Abraham's descendants just like God promised it would. Abraham's seed was blessed and increasing. Say increasing. Page 2, number 3. You're now his seed, and the inherited promise of Abraham's seed is still working on your behalf. Say, Abraham's promise is still working for his seed, and his seed is me. It is God's plan for each of his children to pursue him and receive their inheritance. We are cut out of the same mold as Abraham, and God's looking to you and to me to take our place and repossess, just like Abraham had to repossess his wealth in the earth now. And I'm going to talk to you about how you do that here in a few minutes. As his family, we are his inheritance and he is ours. Now, through faith in the covenant, we take hold of the land, the wealth, all the things of the earth, and we make them serve God as they were intended. You do understand that the land, the wealth, and all the other things on the earth were created for one thing, to worship God. They were given to man, and man was to use them to worship God. In your hands, the things of God that God created will bless you and will glorify him. According to Psalms 35:27, he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. We are the family of God. We are heirs of the world. God has dreamed of showing himself strong on our behalf and showing himself strong to others through us. You want God to show himself strong through you? I'll try that again.
Yes, sir.
Do you want God to show himself strong through you?
Yes.
Are y'all asleep? Are you awake?
Yep.
Thank you so much. So as you see, you made him cry when he thought you were asleep. He says, that's disrespectful to pastor. I know, buddy. Just hang in there with me. They'll get it. They'll be as wise as you are someday. As you embrace, he always knows how to say amen at the right place, too. Y'all need to take lessons. How old is he now?
17 months.
Yeah, see, y'all need to take lessons from a 17-month-old. Here we go. Because see, we're supposed to come as to God as what? Children, right? So as you embrace God's dream and seek his ways, you'll begin to experience his power to prosper, which will cause everything you touch to increase. I think I'm just going to close my book and walk away. You know, here's the thing I don't get. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I would think, what's the one thing mankind, doesn't matter what nation you're in, no matter where you are, what's the one thing man strives for all the time?
Money.
Absolutely right. And do you know this? Anytime I do a series on money, the crowd goes down. You know that? I mean, I've got numbers for 10 years. I can prove it to you. You know, anytime I do a series, now we've been on the internet long enough, a series on money, the crowd goes down. You know, anytime I talk about money, y'all act like you're asleep. And what I'm teaching you today, when we get to the end of this message, you're going to realize, well, those of you that will listen and take it in, you're going to realize that there is a reason that sometimes you feel like it doesn't work. That you've sowed and you've sowed and you've sowed, but it's not like I stand up here and tell you it ought to be. And I'm going to explain that to you in a few minutes. As you embrace God's dream and you seek His ways, you'll begin to experience His power to prosper, which will cause everything you touch to increase. And the closer you walk with Him, the more His dream will become a reality in you. You'll become the living proof of Psalms 25:13, which says, He shall live within God's circle of blessing. I don't know about you, but I want to live within God's circle of blessing. And His children shall inherit the earth. But how do these blessings come? Through harvest. Say harvest.
Harvest.
What do we talk about all the time? What are we really? Farmers. We're all just farmers. And in this season, for everything, this, you know, there's a reason the successful farmer does everything they do. The plowing, the sowing, the fertilizing, the spraying, it's all done for what? The harvest. Every second of preparation and every drop of sweat is focused on one goal and one goal only. To get the maximum harvest possible from the ground in which that farmer sows. The principle that the farmer uses to make the farmland productive is the same basic principle on which God's entire system operates. You can't get away from this. Everything in God's system works this way. Everything. Page 3, number 1. The principle of seed time and harvest is fundamental to the working of the kingdom of God. It is the manner in which His kingdom operates every way. The importance of this great truth is stated clearly in Galatians 6:7. I'm going to read out of the Phillips translation. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. Just read that with me. Is it on the screen? Yeah, it is. Let's read it together. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. This means that the results you experience in life are a result of the seeds you've sown. You know, I say, well, Pastor, I've sown a lot of seeds and I'm just not getting the harvest. Well, I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. Nothing you experience in life is exempt from this basic truth. Nothing. Your present situation is a product of the seeds you have sown in the past. Remember the verse in, I believe it's in Matthew, where he talks about, the evil, the good. Somebody help me with that. Yeah, a good measure out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. It's saying the exact same thing. And nothing you experience in life is exempt from this. So the good news is that the seed, so let me say it this way. Your present situation is a product of the seeds you have sown in the past. But, say but. Here's the good news. The seeds you sow today can change your future. Your future is in your hands and in the heart and in the in seed form. And if you can learn to plant the seeds that will create the kind of life that God destined you to live in, you will find His plan become a reality in your life. This law of the kingdom has been the same from the very beginning. Genesis 8:22, we see that God has declared this law will remain for all time. It says, while the earth remains, is the earth still remaining? While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Seed time and harvest, it shall not cease. Planting seeds and creating a harvest is the way God established the earth to be sustained, and it will continue and it will increase. All of life is made up of sowing and reaping. If you sow the kind of seeds that will produce what you want in life, you will reap it with joy. God's system is simple. It knows no social, it knows no economic barrier. You sow and your seeds will grow and produce after their kind, either good or bad. It doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter to me, matters to you, but whatever kind of seed you're sowing, that's the harvest you're going to reap. So all of these people who are sowing nothing but fear, they're sowing nothing but anguish. They're sowing nothing but just vile. What is their life going to reap? That exact same thing. Can you get away from that? No. That's the way it works. Sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. You can't get away from it. You can't stop it. You can't deny it. It's the way life is. It's the way God set up everything. Say everything.
Everything.
That is His system. You cannot get away from it. Seed time and harvest. Planting seeds and creating a harvest is the way God established the earth, and it will never cease. Now, the person who will see increase, you want to see increase? Who wants to see increase? Four of you want to see increase. Let's try again. Who wants to see increase? Ah, very much. Thank you. So the person who will see increase is the one who grasps this law and develops an attitude that you're going to be a farmer. The farmer knows that reaping comes only because of the sowing of the seed for the harvest. 2 Timothy 2:6 says, and hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Who should be the first to enjoy the fruit of your labor? Why? Because you're the farmer. You're the one sowing the seed. Well, I don't agree with that. I don't think I would expect anything from God. Well, you know, go talk to Timothy. I didn't write that. He did. So when you get to heaven, if you make it there, you can have a chat with him. Page 3, number 2. God is a God of increase. God is a God of increase. And just as He made the universe to continue to expand, you do understand that, right? When God said light be and light was, what happened? The Big Bang. That's the Big Bang right there. Boom. Light be, light was. But the Word of God never stops. And so the universe continues to expand. And continues to expand and continues to expand and always will. Why? Because that's God. Say increase.
Increase.
Y'all need to get this revelation. There is a reason the universe is constantly expanding. And God just didn't say, light be and stop right here. Why not? That would go against God's character. God's character is He is a God of increase. And so when He says light be, and the universe started at some point, and the bang happened, and the universe went out, is there any boundaries to the power of God? Is God a God of increase or not? If He's a God of increase, can the universe ever stop expanding? No. It's not complicated. Say, God is a God of increase. So like the farmer in his field, you're to create your own increase. And you're to be the first to benefit from it after you tithe. And God expects His Word to bring increase to you. He wants you to be a source of strength. He wants you to be a source of help to other people. But if you have not received for yourself, it is going to be very difficult for you to be a blessing or to help somebody else. Therefore, you must decide to participate. You must decide on your own to participate in His plan for increase. He said in Psalms 115, verse 14, "May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children." Wait a minute. No, that can't be in the Bible.
Yeah, you put it there.
Yeah, I wrote it. I rewrote Psalms 115 last night just for you. Just so it fit in this message right. May the Lord give you increase, and not just increase in spirit. There's no period there. What does it say after that? More and more. Oh, and He doesn't stop there. You and your children. I don't know about you, but to me that is good news. It is His desire that everything you do grow and be blessed. Page 3, number 3. Too often people are looking to God for the wrong things. Most people love miracles, and I like miracles too. But we're not to live for miracles. Miracles are a result of a crisis. So when people don't live under the laws of God and a crisis comes, then they do have God's promise that He's going to be there, be on their side, and wants to deliver them. But you as a child of God are not limited to live from crisis to crisis. You are to live by faith and produce what you need in your life. Remember, increase is a result of seed time and harvest. God's Word is His will in seed form. Is there any area of life where you need a harvest? Not just money, I'm talking any area of life where you need a harvest. If so, all you need to do is plant a seed. Healing, peace, love, joy. And, you know, those are just some of the results you can obtain by sowing the seeds of God's Word. You know, I remember it was on the same message that I'd asked some of you guys to listen to last week. In that message, you know, both these guys are my fathers, and I have several people I consider to be fathers of, you know, faith fathers to me. And one of them is Jerry Savelle. Another one is Kenneth Copeland. And Jerry Savelle said that, you know, when he first got into the Word, he didn't have anything to give. And he was wanted so desperately, he was starting to understand seed time and harvest, but they didn't have any money. He had nothing. And so he was praying, he was asking the Lord, you know, what can I give to this man? What can I give to his ministry? And he said, I don't have any money. If I had money, I'd give the money, but I don't have any money. The Lord said, you have time. Get up every morning and give the first hour of your day praying for his ministry. And so for a year, he did that. And at the end of that year, he was so blessed, he had money to sow into the ministry. But he gave what he had. He had time. Now, you know, we see Jerry Savelle today where he is, right? But I've watched him for 30 years. You know, I remember when he would go to churches this size. You know, that's not today, but, you know, he fills Coliseums today. But, you know, I remember when he would, you know, he would just go wherever he'd go. He'd drive, he'd do whatever, he'd have to get there. And he was faithful to that. And over time and time and time, the Lord blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. But where did he start? He started with nothing financial so he could give an hour a day praying for a ministry that had brought him out of darkness and into light. That's all he had. Is that sowing seed? Has his ministry reap the harvest of sowing those seeds into another man's ministry through prayer? Yes. Absolutely. That's the way it works. And so you determine what you're going to get. Anything you can, anything you have can become a seed for you to sow. Anything. If you need love, sow love. Joy, plant joy. You need peace, well, be a peacemaker. The principle is clear. God has given you the tools to receive any harvest you desire. And it all begins by planting a seed, which is done by the words we speak. Well, wait a minute, Rocky. If I'm planting money, that's not the words. Oh, yeah, but you need to put words with that money. We just don't do it in silence. When we sow that money, I mean, if you're giving online, let me talk to the people out there, or here if you give online. Don't just pull up your debit or credit card and let me say this. I need to say this. Please do not give to this church on a credit card if you cannot pay it off at the end of the month. God doesn't want you going in debt, and I don't either. I mean, if you give on a credit card, that's fine, only if you can pay it off. Obviously, if it's a debit card, it's coming right out of your account anyway. But that is not the right thing to do, to borrow money to give that you can't afford to give. That's not faith, that's presumption. And we don't do that. I'm on page 3, number 4. So one of the greatest tools for sowing and harvest is your financial giving. Now think about what money really is. Just go with me for this a minute. Money is really, it is a person's life in seed form. You give your time, your labor, your ideas, and you gain money. Is that correct? Through your money, then you can sow your life into many areas of the kingdom of God. So when you sow seed toward promoting the word, you are setting increase into motion. Now, giving is the way, it's a spiritual thing which God receives and then multiplies when you give. God can add, now, I love this part of this message. God can add to what you have. However, he can multiply what you give. That's on page 3, number 4. And then let me go through the last two sentences in that bullet point right there. When you give your money, it leaves your hand, but it never leaves your life. It leaves your present situation and it enters your future. And Jesus demonstrated this one day when he was teaching and he was healing the multitude of people. He'd been ministering all day. The people were there. They were tired. It was getting to be evening. They were hungry. We know this story, but let's look at it. Because there's one thing, if you have a physical Bible you can write in, I want you to underline this in your Bible. Matthew 14, 15 through 21. That evening the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That's not necessary. You feed them." But we have only 5 loaves, 2 fishes, they answered. Now, look at verse 18. Excuse me. Underline it in your Bible, verse 18. "Bring them here," he said. Bring them here. Say, "Bring them here." Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. He looked up towards heaven. He blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves in pieces, he gave them back to the disciples who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day in addition to all the women and children. So 13,000 people probably. Jesus told the disciples to take what they had and give it to him. What they had in their hands was actually food that belonged to a young boy or a young man that was present. Now, so here's the progression of this. This young boy has 5 loaves, or young man has 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? He has more insight than the disciples do. And I don't know if Jesus took an offering or what he did that promoted the young man to do this, but the young man tells the disciples, "Here, this is all I got, 5 loaves and 2 fishes." So now what do the disciples have in the way of food? I mean, they had money in the bag, but what do they have in the way of food? 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? Now, to God, there has to be a seed. Because what's God's system of everything? Seed, time, and harvest. So there has to be a seed. The boy planted a seed in the ministry. The young man planted a seed in the ministry. What was his seed? 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? Now, the disciples then, the guys running the church, if you will, the ministry of Jesus, they go to the leader and say, he says, go feed them. And Lord, I mean, in the way of food, all we have is five loaves and two fishes. Seed, time, and harvest. So Jesus turns around, and what does he do? He blesses it, and then he gives it back to the disciples for distribution. So what happens? We give. It comes into the treasury of the church. And then we turn around and give it back out in whatever form we give it out in, whether it's paying a mortgage or giving to a missionary or whatever it is we have to do with it. Now, do we see it that way? Do I really see that when you give it, it comes in, I'm supposed to bless it, and then as it goes out, it's supposed to be multiplied. And then, what happened at the end of that story? 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Now, do you think the disciples hoarded those, or did those go back to the original giver? I'm thinking they went back to the original giver. So he gave us five loaves and two fishes. He donated them. The administrators of the ministry looked at it and said, well, what are we going to do with this? It's not enough. The head of the ministry said, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. I blessed it. Now give it out. Send it out into the fields. And now let's pick up the leftovers. And hey, boy, here's your reward. So, you know, he had basically one basket with five little loaves and two fish, and he gets 12 basketfuls back. I'd say it's a pretty good return, wouldn't you? So, what they had in their hands was food. Jesus blessed it. The disciples, he gave it back to them. But when he gave it back, there was a difference. Once again, the disciples had in their hands, I mean, it's the same loaves and two fishes, right? Only this time it has been blessed by the Lord, which supernaturally empowered it to be multiplied. The disciples began to distribute the food to the people until everyone was full. They went from not having enough to having more than enough, because God's a God of what?
Increase.
And they did it by following one simple instruction. What did Jesus say? Bring it to me. Sometimes, it's something I learned a long time ago. You hear me say it on occasion, because I don't agree with the statement 100%, but I do probably 98%. And this is the way I learned it. If what you have in your hand doesn't meet your need, it must be your seed. And the disciples didn't have enough to meet the need, so Jesus instructed them to give what they had to him. He had established the laws of the kingdom to bring you into a place of abundant supply, but it must be put into his hands. And this miracle supply happened right before their eyes. Now, let's be honest, it doesn't happen that way all the time. Galatians 6:9, though, says this, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not and don't give up. Now, there have been things I believe God for in faith for days, weeks, months, some years, some decades. But there's been time, like the story I tell after 9/11, which I needed that money, and I made my confession on Thursday, and on Saturday there's a check in the mailbox. So God's got it. Normally, it's not going to come day after tomorrow. Normally, we have to use our faith and receive it. Because when that farmer goes out to sow that field, when he plants that seed, does he get his harvest day after tomorrow?
No.
But now if he's got another field he planted 3 months ago, that one's coming up. What else does the Bible say? Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days it will return unto you. Well, my intention is to just keep casting and casting and casting so that I got it coming back on every wave. That's my philosophy in this. So can we put that scripture back on the board, Galatians 6:9? And so here's the thing. How many of us, and I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to bring this home in just a minute, but how many of us, let's be honest, when it says well-doing, that's not like walking the old lady across the street kind of well-doing, okay? That is living life for Christ, well-doing. So how many of us, we give and we sow and we do this and we do that, and, you know, we get weary. I mean, since this whole process started, you know, we haven't closed at my business, but I've had a lot of customers that have either, that have owned businesses that are going out of business, or people aren't getting paid, so they can't, so we have customers that, you know, they just can't make their payments, so now they don't have it. I mean, you know, it's bad. And so, and we are working hard. I mean, it's like the phone does not stop. It's like our workload went way up because we're dealing with all these people having all these issues. But our reaping hasn't been necessarily reaping as much as it's been just sowing into people's lives, trying to encourage them and stuff, because we're losing income because we're losing policies. So how many of you ever get weary in well-doing? Go ahead and put that back up, please. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap. There's no period there. It's not an automatic thing. Because faith can't stop. If we faint not, or don't give up. And how many of you know that's sometimes a challenge? And you must not give up. But I'm going to tell you, this week, I've already started to see a turnaround in my business. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it all comes down to me. It's not God, it's me. And I'll get there in just a second. So we must not give up, but continue to sow and expect the harvest. Due season always comes. Say that with me. Due season always comes. Page 3, number 5. Your increase is in your hands in seed form. Your job is to plant what you have and then launch an attack against lack. The overflow of God's glory has equipped you for abundance. It has prepared you to launch an attack on every area of your life that has any lack. Every area of life that has any lack. Every area of life that has any lack. Are you listening to me? Lack on any level is your enemy. Say after me, lack on any level is my enemy. See, man was not created by God to struggle with lack throughout his life. We were created to walk with God and enjoy all things. And we see this in the way that God took care of the first man and first woman, placed Adam and Eve in the garden where every need was met. We see it in God's covenant with man, covenants he made to evidently bring man back to that place of receiving from him again. Knowledge of those covenants is what caused King David to be so bold and make the declaration. It's the most quoted scripture in the Bible, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in the Amplified, it says it this way. The Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. God's dream has been to bring his family back to the place of lacking nothing. Lack is at the opposite end of the spectrum from the abundance that Jesus came to give us. Yes, we have to face adversity. We all know that. Yes, we face struggles in life. We all know that. Every trial, every tribulation, every trouble has the potential of changing your course by leading you into faithlessness, unbelief, frustration, and confusion. And the way we handle those times of trouble is going to determine our success in coming out of lack into abundance at every level. When pressure rises up against you, the first thing you need to do is to remind yourself what Nehemiah 8:10 says, which says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Because you got to let the joy of your life in him keep you moving toward the place of lacking nothing. You got to refuse to allow yourself to be derailed. Some of you got to quit thinking about your problems so much and start thinking about who God is. Because the closer you follow the leadership of the Lord, the more He will lead you out of lack in every area of life. Page 4, number 1. Jesus said He has come in for this reason in John 10:10 in the Amplified, it says it this way, that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So what is overflow? Well, that's where lack comes to an end, people. You were made for this overflow. It is in you and available to you now. So attack your lack and let the overflow begin. Now, I'm telling you all this morning, and here's what I'm going to say. And this is the part I said last week. Oh, you got to listen to this, and then I found out I taught it in 2016. The harvest. Say harvest. Why does a farmer sow seed? For the harvest. The harvest is crying out, and the reaper, what's a reaper? The person who goes, the harvest. The person that goes and reaps or takes the harvest. The farmer. All right? And the reaper is crying out. What does that mean? It means something is about to change for those who understand the rules of reaping. What do you mean, rules of reaping? Well, if you will stay focused for 10 minutes, some of you, this is going to change your life. The body of Christ is getting ready, I believe, to step into the greatest time of reaping or harvest that we have ever known. The most abundant harvest the world has ever seen, I believe, right now are in the fields. It's time for us to lay claim to the due season in which Galatians 6:9, which we already read this morning, this time I read out of the New Living Translation. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest, a blessing, if we don't give up. This is the time we can discover how to reap all that we have sown and see the multiplying impact of God's laws for harvest. It's time for us to reap abundantly. But first, we must understand what the harvest is all about. Because when we talk about harvest, people think about money. Let's just break it. Let's get down to the basic principle first. The biblical principle of harvest primarily refers to people being born again and entering a relationship with Jesus Christ and being delivered from the power of sin. That's the harvest we need to focus on most. The ultimate goal of ministry is for people to know Jesus and become His disciples. Can we agree with that?
Yes.
There are other aspects of harvesting that each believer must grow in personally. And in doing so, will make us a more effective part of the harvest for souls that God wants in the kingdom. Because, you know, there are people that I believe God has anointed to make money to fund the kingdom of God. I mean, we all fund it, but I believe there's people that God has just anointed to make money to sow into the kingdom. I believe there's people that God has made carpenters so that they can build churches. I believe there's people that God had made plumbers or what, I mean, lawyers. I mean, we need godly lawyers. We need people standing in front of the Supreme Court that'll represent us. You know, so, but all of those take different skills and all of those God can use. But one of the basic conditions for reaping is we have to sow. Can you agree with that?
Amen.
If you don't sow anything, you have nothing to reap. Can we agree with that? Okay? So we sow seeds of time, love, money, spiritual truth, and other things. Our professions, whatever it is. Page 4, number 3. The problem I find is that many times people are sowing their seeds of faith through their tithes, their offerings, but they are not reaping. Listen to me. You can go... I'm not picking on the Baptist. I love the Baptist. Those people are taught to tithe, but they are not taught to reap. And you can go into a Baptist church, and they'll be about 40% tithe. Now, in this church, we have 80% tithers. But a good Baptist church is at 40%. The church as a whole is about 18% is all it tithes, which explains why they're poor. But anyway, you go into a good Baptist church tithing at 40%. And if you went down the line in that good Baptist church that tithes at 40%, and you said, are you a tither? Yes. Are you reaping a harvest? You know what that deer in the headlight looks like? That's what you're going to get. I remember telling a lady one time, she went to our Sunday school class over at the other church, and she came here a few times when we first opened. But I remember her telling me one time, because I was talking about giving, and then I started teaching on receiving. And she said, you are really messing with my religion. Good. Somebody needs to.
Yeah, really.
Because your religion hasn't taught you the other half of seed time and harvest. They've taught you about planting, but not receiving. So to see the increase God has provided become a reality, we must allow that same word, listen to me, you got to allow the same word that stirs you up to sow into the kingdom to also stir you up to reap the promised harvest. We must understand how to sow in faith and reap in faith as well. God said in Proverbs 8:21 that He has given us His wisdom so that I may cause those who love me to inherit what? That I may what? That I may fill their treasuries. That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. God's desire is clear. He wants us to increase in wealth. His way to our increase is through His wisdom, which is what we talked about last week. And what is His wisdom? Thank you. His Word. His Word is His wisdom. And by walking in it, in the Word, you will find the wisdom to bring wealth and increase into our lives. According to God's Word, we are to reap things which have been withheld from our possession. James 5, 1 through 4 gives an open rebuke to those who are rich that don't serve God with their wealth. Look here, you rich people. Now, who was James? Jesus' half-brother, right? Mary was his mom, but, you know, Joseph was his dad, not God. So he was Jesus' half-brother. And he says, look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible trouble ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver have become worthless. The very wealth that you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This treasure you have so a pandemic comes, does it matter how much money you have?
No.
Does it say, oh, that person's rich, so I'm not going to that house?
No.
What do we have? The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
All right? So your gold and your silver have become worthless. The very wealth that you're counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This treasure you have accumulated will stand as evidence against you in the day of judgment. For listen here. Hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The wages you held back cry out against you. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. Notice what's crying out here. It's wages that are not paid. Money cries out. Well, if you've earned wages and are not paid those wages, the money is still yours. And though it's not in your hand, it cries out. It's part of your harvest. The law of God recognizes as yours what should have come to you and has been withheld from you. That money owed you becomes a witness against whoever is holding it wrongfully. Part of your personal harvest is the money and things that have been kept back from you by the kingdom of darkness. The seed you have sown into the kingdom of God that has not seemed to bring any increase is still your seed, and the harvest remains yours. It's time to get your harvest out of the hands of the enemy and into your hands. Notice again, verse 4, that not only are the wages crying out, but also the reapers or the workers who have been defrauded are crying out. Page 4, number 5. If you are a sower, then you also should be a reaper, right? It is time for the reapers to cry out and receive what belongs to them. It's time for you to receive what belongs to you. The Amplified Bible says this in James 5:3, that the rich have heaped together treasures for the last days. The rich have done what? Heaped together treasures for the last days. Proverbs 13:22 says, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous or the just. Wealth is made to be in the hands of the righteous. But we have to understand, as any good farmer does, that harvest does not come out of the field on its own. If you just leave that field, you may have a beautiful harvest out there, but if you don't go reap it, does it do you any good? So you must bring the harvest into the barns. When the reapers cry out, something different begins to happen. Listen to me. When the reapers cry, the reaper is who? You. When the reapers cry out, something different begins to happen. The seed sown, the wages withheld, and the increase due begins to witness to the Father God that heaven must come into the reaper's hands. Your enemy will steal from you and hold your goods as long as you allow it. You are the one who can cry out to the Lord of the harvest. Who's the Lord of the harvest? The Holy Spirit. God is the Lord of the harvest. But we're leaving our harvest in the ground. The enemy is keeping us from receiving our harvest. And the harvest is crying out. Why would the harvest cry out? Because God still credits that to you. But you have allowed the enemy to hold it. And the harvest belongs to you. You are the one who can cry out to the Lord of harvest and begin to reap where you have sown. Again, Galatians 6:7, Phillips translation, tells us how far reaching this sowing and reaping is. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. Every aspect of life is affected by seed time and harvest, by sowing and reaping. You can begin to harvest in every possible area if you will sow, determined to reap and not tolerate your enemy stealing your harvest. Lay claim to your harvest with the words of your mouth. Declare that it is yours. You have sown the seeds and the harvest is yours for the reaping. Stir yourself up in the Holy Spirit and receive what belongs to you in Jesus' name. So after I heard Jerry Savelle preach that, and then I found it, see, this past Monday, it was not a good day. We had people moving, you know, we can't help people move, but some of them had a lot of policies, and so, you know, but Tuesday, I'm not at work, at my job, I'm studying, right? So I'd listened to Jerry Savelle. I told you guys to listen to that message. I started studying it on Tuesday, and I realized I taught it in 2016. So Wednesday, I start changing the way I'm praying. So I'll give you an example of how I'm praying. Father, I know that my harvest is crying out to me. In our church, in Calvary United Fellowship, I know the harvest is crying out, both in people and in income, and in souls saved. Father, we have sown and sown and sown, and Satan has put up a wall everywhere he can. But that harvest is crying out. Angels of God, I dispatch you to go loose that harvest and bring it into Calvary New Life Fellowship. Father, I thank you that you know that at Oliver Insurance Agency, we sow into people's lives. We spend so much time on the phone with them, ministering to them. We ask them for nothing. We just give and we give and we give. And Father, you know that what's been going on with this thing. You know what's happened to business. And you know that because of how much we've given, both in tithes and offerings and in time, you know that the harvest is there. I know the harvest is there. The enemy knows the harvest is there. So angels of God, I dispatch you. That harvest is crying out, and I dispatch you to go bring it in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that in my own personal life, I have sowed my entire life. I have given my entire life. I give. And I know, Father, I have been very blessed and I'm thankful for that. But I know that I have a huge harvest out there that is just waiting. It's sitting. And Father, forgive me for forgetting this message. Forgive me for doing that. But Father, I know that harvest is out there and it has my name on it. And it's crying out to come to me. So you are the Lord of the harvest. So I claim it in Jesus' name. Angels of God, I dispatch you to go bring that harvest into my life in Jesus' name. And between Wednesday and Friday, we wrote more policies between Wednesday and Friday than we've written in the last 3 months. The harvest is out there. If you're a sow, now if you've never sown anything, sorry. Start. And then don't forget this message. But if you've been a sower, and you know that you have, remember in part one of this series, we talked about how Isaac sowed in famine and reaped a hundredfold, right? We also talked about how we are it says that Abraham's seed will be blessed in their generation. Well, I am Abraham's seed in this generation. We also know that we have a better covenant because of Christ than Isaac sowed under the old covenant. So therefore, I know that my harvest, regardless of the famine or no famine, ought to be huge. But I also know that if my harvest truly came in, it would make a if the harvest of this church ever came in, it would be amazing. In my business, it would be amazing. In my life, it would be amazing. So I know it has been hindered. And I know the harvest is crying out. And I know I'm the reaper. And so as the reaper now, I am crying out to the Lord of harvest to have that loosed, to send the angels to bring it in Jesus' name. I will not be denied. It is coming. Amen. Now you have to decide if you've been sowing. And if you've been sowing, have you been reaping the way you should? Probably not. And that harvest is sitting in that field waiting on you. And Satan has been hindering that harvest and hindering that harvest. And you need to take this message. You need to go listen to it over and over and over again and get it inside of you. You need to get this thing about the harvest crying out. You need to get this thing about the reaper crying out. And you need to go claim what is yours in Jesus' name and take it out of the kingdom of darkness and bring it into the kingdom of light. And let's change the world with it. Amen.
Amen.
See, that was worth the price of admission right there.
Amen.
I'm going to kind of do this backwards today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you are a sower, because I feel like the anointing is here right now for this. I started this on Wednesday. Well, Tuesday afternoon is when I started this. Calling for the harvest that has been withheld because it's crying out for me. And I've been doing it every day since then. If you're a sower, if you're watching or listening, this applies to you just as much as here. If you're a sower, if you're a giver, and again, if you don't sow, you start. But if you're a sower and you know that your harvest has been withheld because you haven't been blessed like all the scriptures we just read, like the Bible says you're supposed to, that your harvest has been withheld by the enemy. And you know it is waiting on you, lift a hand. Stand up. And Father, in Jesus' name, I get in agreement with these people because I know my harvest has been withheld and they now understand that their harvest has been withheld, and we know that wisdom comes out of the Word, and when we hear the Word, we get wisdom, and now we have wisdom about this. And my doubt is there's a person in this room who's had 100% of their harvest returned to them the way it should be. But those that have stood, Lord God, you see their faith, you see their heart, you see the desire of their heart. Angels of God, I dispatch you into these people's lives, whether they're in this room or watching or listening. I dispatch you now to go forth. Father, we are the reapers, and we cry out to you. And we demand that our harvest be released and given back to us as promised. So, angels of God, I dispatch you to go forth and to bring that harvest in. We cry out, we're crying out, and we know it is ours in Jesus' name. And we receive it by faith. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. Have a seat. Still, every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you're here and you say, Father, you say, Pastor, I need to live like that. Yes, you do. But the way you live like this is you live like this through being a Christian, through accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you're here this morning and Jesus is not your Lord, or you're here this morning and you need to just rededicate your life to Him and say, I got to get serious with God, I got to get on this program, then lift your hand if you're here. Just acknowledge before God if you're not here. Because we're going to say a prayer and make sure that we're all where we need to be. Because this is life-changing. But it's only life-changing once you allow the King of Kings to be the one that's in your heart that causes it to happen. So if you would repeat this prayer after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I receive everything you have for me. And the best thing you have for me is the gift of salvation. Jesus, I receive what you did for me on the cross, that you died for me, that you suffered me for me, so that I could be redeemed to your Father and be a child of God. I accept that. I receive it. Thank you. You are my King, my Lord, and my Savior, and I will serve you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Won't y'all get anything out of that? So, the moral of that story is don't leak. Because that's a message we don't need to forget about. Because we need to remember that we sowed and not let our harvest just sit in the ground and rot. It's ours to go for the taking. We have to be the farmers, and part of farming is going back to get your harvest. Amen? Father, we love you and thank you for the wisdom that is in your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have to sow into the kingdom of God. Thank you for the opportunity we have to reap a mighty harvest from you. Thank you, Father, that we are so blessed. I receive it. I thank you, Father, for it. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, I dispatch you into this next week to go forth and protect and watch over. Help us to have, Holy Spirit, help us to have wisdom where to go and not go, to stay away from people that might have things we don't want to receive from them. And Father, I thank you that we are blessed, and angels of God, I dispatch you to go and pull in the harvest in Jesus' name. Be blessed, child of God. Have a great week. And don't forget, next week's God and Country Sunday. And we will see you then, and you are dismissed.